Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And by the way, we're collecting songs for Brian Lehrer listeners' Thanksgiving kitchen mixtape. Suggest some music that you like to listen to while you cook, and we will add it to the mix. Then you can download the mixtape for Thanksgiving Day. But today, suggest a piece of music for the Brian Lehrer listeners' Thanksgiving kitchen mixtape. Suggest it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, the saga of the nomination of Kathy Black for school's chancellor continues. On Friday, the New York State Education Commissioner, David Steiner, named an advisory committee of 8 experts to help him decide whether or not to grant a waiver to Mayor Bloomberg's controversial choice to run the city schools. Ms. Black needs a waiver because she lacks the substantial education credentials and experience required under New York State law. Steiner will make the ultimate decision on whether Ms. Black is qualified to become the city schools chief. The advisory committee meets for the first and probably only time with Ms. Black tomorrow, or I should say the only time it will meet even with itself in private to discuss the matter. And this may not just be about Kathy Black, but also about the mayor. Let's talk to Meredith Kolodner, education reporter for The Daily News. Hi, Meredith.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. All 8 commission members have deep experience in the education field, but many of them have deep connections to Mayor Bloomberg as well. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. There are 3 of the panel members who have actually worked for the Department of Education while the mayor was in power. In addition to that, one of those 3 works for the Carnegie Corporation, which is a known place where Mayor Bloomberg donates. And there's a 4th member of the panel who there's a piece in the New York Times today that really breaks down the extent to which the New York Historical Society receives a lot of funding from the mayor.
Louise Mirror from the New York Historical Society, she runs it and has received a lot of money from the mayor. It's another example, I guess, of how the opposite of most politicians who rely on other people for campaign contributions, he's had the ability from being so independently wealthy to kind of help cultivate the support, let's say, of various people and institutions by donating to them.
Certainly. And I think I know I certainly have spoken to numbers of groups who also rely on the mayor and or on the city for funding, education funding, arts funding, who are not speaking out in this particular case because they feel like it's not worth it in terms of endangering that relationship.
Is anybody protesting that it's a conflict of interest to put somebody like Louise Mirror or some of the other members who have these kinds of financial ties to Bloomberg taking his money for their institutions, that it's a conflict of interest to put them on this board at all to evaluate his appointee?
There are some parents who are protesting tonight, actually, at 4 o'clock. And I think one of their issues, there's a number of issues they have. Some of it is just about Kathy Black and a lack of education experience on her part. Some of it is the process by which this has been done that is somewhat secretive. And then another part of it is questions about the panel and the extent to which they are truly independent and able to make a recommendation that won't be tainted in any way.
Did they have to disclose their financial relationships or their organization's financial relationships with the mayor to Steiner?
We haven't gotten a straight answer on that, but the extent to which that question has not been answered, I would have to say no. I mean, we asked the state directly whether or not those disclosures had been made, and there's been no answer on that.
What do you know about what the leanings might be of Susan Furman, who's the head of this advisory board, who's the head of the Teachers College at Columbia University? That, I'm guessing, is an independent organization, and here is a place that trains teachers, that probably really values the formal education that people going into the field of education get and helps develop curricula and all kinds of things. What you expect somebody like Susan Furman to be kind of offended by the idea that somebody could be brought in from the outside without any education experience, or shouldn't we make that assumption?
You know, not having spoken to her directly about it, I wouldn't want to answer that, but I do know that in general, the educators that I have spoken to have concerns about not just that Ms. Black hasn't been a teacher, but that there's no connection to the public education system at all, whether nationally or locally, in any way.
One of the panelists, Michelle Cahill, was once denied a state waiver herself to serve as deputy chancellor, though she continued to serve in other significant positions under Joel Klein. She lacked traditional educational supervisory credentials, so she was denied a waiver by the state education department. So that's, I don't know, she's interestingly positioned as well. Either she may think, well, I didn't get my waiver, so why should I support someone else's waiver who has even less experience than I did? Or she might see the value of having worked without the official credentials high up in the Klein administration, the Bloomberg Klein administration on the schools, and think, well, the whole credentialing process maybe isn't as relevant as some people would like to make it out to be.
I think that's true, and Steiner himself has been a critic and someone who has changed the credentialing process, you know, when he was at Hunter College. And there are a lot of people who have been critical about an overly formalistic process of, you know, having to sit in a classroom to become a teacher as opposed to doing on-the-job training. But I think there's somewhat of a distinction with Kathy Black. It's not simply that she doesn't have the credentials. It's that people are really reaching and struggling to find any connection to the public schools whatsoever.
Right. But I think we live in an era when it comes to education where all kinds of formal training is coming under questioning. People come out of education schools without being as qualified to teach as they might. And so even the normal education that a potential teacher gets is really being reevaluated. And I wonder if the same thing goes for educational supervision, although I hear what you're saying, that she's had no connection to the field of education in the past. And yet I think the whole notion of credentials in the formal set is being reinspected today.
That's certainly true, and Steiner himself and the Regents have opened up a new avenue to become a teacher that gets around the sort of formal education schools. There are things like Teaching Fellows and Teach for America where you can get the credentials most with some classroom experience, but mostly on-the-job training. So I think there has been a shift in terms of what's considered legitimate for someone to become a teacher. That being said, all of those avenues do, even if they don't rely on going to school and taking tests and writing papers on education, they do rely on the job experience and actually being in the classroom and seeing it and teaching it and learning from people who are educators.
Meredith Kolodner from the Daily News, covering the appointment of Kathy Black to be the New York City Schools Chancellor and whether she's going to get this waiver. And what about the politics of Michael Bloomberg here? It seems to me this, you know, my impression is that this would run very much in his favor and that there would be a tremendous amount of deference for a number of reasons. One, because the law in the first place that gave him mayoral control back in 2002 is something that power brokers would want to respect. And because he's got a track record of appointing good managers to a lot of things in the past, and because he's just got a lot of clout in New York State, that a lot of the people in the elite who might have input into this decision would look at it and say, let's not mess with the mayor, unless he wanted to appoint Adolf Hitler as the chancellor. You know, short of that, we're going to give the mayor his running room here and see how this person actually does, you know, before we make a fuss. On the other hand, I've been told by some other people that there are some who would like to bring the mayor down a peg, and either because of term limits or because of whatever politics, that, you know, this is an excuse to actually have a little control over Mayor Bloomberg, and they're going to find a way to exercise it. Do you have a theory on which of those possible political directions people are more likely to take?
Without sounding too wishy-washy, I think both are at play. On the one hand, there is mayoral control. The mayor has been running the school system, and a lot of people do think that this is up to the mayor. The mayor gets to appoint the chancellor. That's the whole thing. And if she screws up the system, he's accountable. On the other hand, I think that the mayor's public standing on the school system has taken some hits. The Wall Street Journal had a poll showing that only 30 to 40% of parents actually thought that the schools had improved under Bloomberg, which, given that it's a signature sort of campaign issue for him, is a pretty low percentage. So there are some people out there, I think, that see that he's more vulnerable than he's been in the past, especially in the wake of the test scores, the state test scores plummeting for public school students. And so there's sort of, on the other hand, I will say that I think the outcry was surprising, and that partially that's because City Hall didn't quite manage the process of nominating Kathy Black very well. They eventually got the supporters out in front and speaking, but initially it was such a shock to everyone. I think for the first day or two, people thought, oh, well, it's the mayor's appointee, she'll just slide through. Mm-hmm. And then outcry started. Apparent outcry to some extent started increasing, and then more and more politicians started objecting.
And your article in the news today is about some New York State legislators looking to introduce a bill to give them power to veto the mayor's pick for school's chancellor. Assemblyman Marcus Crespo from the Bronx and State Senator Eric Adams from Brooklyn want to rush the bill in order to weigh in on Bloomberg's selection of Kathy Black. I can't believe that they could actually pass a law in the legislature that would let them sort of retroactively take control of this nomination, could they?
They would have to do it very quickly, and there would have to be a lot of people, including Sheldon Silver, who thought it was a good idea, and he has not signaled yet that he does think it's a good idea. They don't go back into session until next Monday. The panel meets Tuesday, as in tomorrow, and the commissioner could make his decision anywhere between Tuesday night and, you know, the coming days. So they would have to move very, very quickly to get the bill in place so that they could actually have an impact on Kathy Black.
We've got about a minute left. There was a profile in the Times on Friday, a long piece about her experience as a manager, a lot of good stuff, some criticism, certainly some writing about her privileged upbringing and her showy extravagance. And I was talking to one of the people involved with that on Friday, and she said the $47,000 bracelet that Kathy Black owns that is currently on loan to a Manhattan museum was all it seemed that anybody wanted to talk about after that article came out. And that was on the front page of the New York Times, that $47,000 bracelet. And I guess, you know, for a system that includes so many children in poverty and the fact that she's had no professional connection to issues of children in poverty has made a lot of people recoil. Do you think that something like that could actually become a symbol for people, or is it something we kind of, you know, giggle at and maybe sneer at, but it's irrelevant to the actual choice?
I think there's two things. On the one hand, parents that I've spoken to are sort of aghast. They don't necessarily know about the $47,000 bracelet, but they know Park Avenue, they know the Hamptons, they know that she sent her kids to boarding school, they know that she lives in a completely different world than they do. On the other hand, you have that conversation with parents for a few minutes, and then pretty quickly you go back to the fact that their kids failed the state exams this year, or there's not enough supplies, or their class size is bigger. So on the one hand, I think it outrages people. On the other hand, there's things people are dealing with every day in the classroom.
Meredith Collider, covering the Kathy Black appointment for the Daily News. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.